welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
There's a delay there because you didn't point right away. Oh. I'm Krista.
They can't see that.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Hi, Krista.
Hi, Brandon. How you doing?
Oh, fine.
What are you drinking?
Coffee.
Me too.
It's the morning time, so it's coffee.
Exactly.
But it does have a little Carolines.
A little something.
Little Irish cream in there. That's just pretty good.
Yeah, these do taste good. It's weekend coffee flavor.
Exactly. It is the weekend still.
That makes sense. You been doing all right?
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Yeah? Do you have a nerd thing this week? We were gone last week because it was Thanksgiving.
Yes, it was. It was Thanksgiving. The Canadian variety.
Yeah.
We are Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast.
Exactly, exactly.
And we did some Canadian-themed travel, so.
Yeah, it's true. We went to the, well, we live in the mountains. We went to another part of the mountains.
Went to National Park Hot Springs place, so that was cool.
And visited family and did food and such.
Well, too much food.
That is true. I was like, is it even Thanksgiving if there's not too much food?
Exactly.
But we are back now, and so do you have, like, a nerd thing this last week, or...?
Not really, but we went to a burlesque show last night.
We did?
Burlesque drag show, I should say,
yes.
I suppose.
Yes.
It was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. Fun. It was very varied. Mm-hmm. I kept commenting all the
performers. Very varied.
Very varied, yes. All the performers were different from one another, so that was very fun.
I enjoyed it.
Cool. Me too. It was a lot of fun. Did you enjoy wearing your sequined jacket?
I did.
So did lots of other people.
Mm-hmm.
They kept coming and telling you.
Yes, I have a sequin jacket, and it was an excuse to wear it.
Yeah.
And people were jealous.
Yes, they were.
As they should be.
As is appropriate, yes. No, that was super fun. Let's see, what would my nerd thing be? I'm still off work, still striking. That's not very fun. We watched K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh, yes, you did. Finally watched that. And you liked it.
Yeah, it was fun. I liked it way more than I thought I was going to.
I feel like the Venn diagram of people who like Disney movies from a certain generation.
Yeah.
And the ones that would like K-pop Demon Hunters is probably close to a circle.
It's a circle.
The kids like it too, but... I was worried because I'm not a big fan of anime. And
yeah,
it
me
is,
too.
It is fairly anime-ish, but it's... very westernized, so it was it was fine.
It's somewhat like playing off anime more than
It was almost making fun of anime, so that allowed me to like it as well.
I enjoyed it. I'm the same. We said before, anime is like one of our nerd things that it just doesn't hit. So when this was super popular, I was like, I'm not gonna like it because of this reason.
Yeah,
but
no, it was good.
Yeah, it was great.
The songs are pretty good.
Yep, I had a lot of fun with it. Yeah, The other thing that I did is I watched, last time we had an episode, you told me to watch all the Zombies movies.
I did, because I had to watch them, so then I said, well, you should...
Well, does that mean you're going to watch all the Cheetah Girls movies like I did?
No, right.
No, you thought I would like them, and so I did watch them, and I do like them.
Yeah, they're... I don't know, it's... What I said is it's a mix between High School Musical and Halloween Town, so...
I like both those things.
It's good for people who like cheesy, lame things.
Like me.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's about it. I think we can head to the news.
Disney A News Update.
Merry Christmas, Brandon.
No.
But that's like most of the news.
No.
Christmas. No? Okay. Also, prices went up.
I'm so shocked.
Yeah, it was funny because we had just said that it was about due for Disney park prices to go up. And so they raised prices on lots of stuff.
The prices for everything are going up astronomically. Like, yes, like at the grocery store, like normal everyday things. Obviously, inflation is kind of out of control these days. And I just bought a new vehicle, and the price of that is kind of crazy compared to what we paid the last time we bought a vehicle a long time ago.
Granted, that was a long time ago, yes.
So, but even digital things like I think I mentioned before that Xbox is raising the price of Game Pass quite significantly. I just got an email. Price of Disney Plus is going up a good 30% as well.
Oof. Yeah, streaming is going like crazy.
It's as is typical with these things. They come in real low. Like Disney Plus is a perfect example. They came in rock bottom prices to get people to sign up for it.
Yeah.
And then they eventually start cranking it up. But it seems like things are going even bigger.
Yeah. Well, we had a Magic Key there for a year, and that was super, super fun. But I remember when, before COVID, when they had, they weren't Magic Keys at the time, right? They were the annual passes. And I do remember streamers and things like that talking about, like, they knew it, this was a crazy good deal if you were top tier, like, and you could make that work. Man, this is so cheap. It's a crazy, crazy good deal.
Yeah.
I think Disney figured that out because...
Yeah, it is interesting that such a local population, and they had, like, Disney Seasons passes even then were not cheap, but
no.
If you compare it to other, like, top-tier entertainment options, like a Seasons pass to a major sports team or something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Dirt cheap.
Dirt cheap, yeah.
Yeah. And you can get a lot more hours out of going to Disney if you live near there than you could a sports team. So
then start putting in things like percentage off merch, and at the time it was like free parking and percentage off.
Well, yeah, if you don't use that, you're losing money.
Yeah, well, that's like you got exactly what I said with the merch all the time. But the top two tiers of Magic Keys are also going up, although the bottom two tiers are staying the same.
Yeah, that's probably good. The other thing is, before COVID, when they were first experimenting with the much maligned reservation system.
Oh, yes.
They had a special reservations only pass.
Yeah.
That was really cheap.
Yeah, I thought that was a typo when you first showed me that. Like, I was like, should there be another, like, digit in here?
And the way they had that set up would have been perfect for out-of-towners.
Oh, yeah.
But... Alas.
Alas.
COVID ruined everything.
We had every intention. Well, I don't know about every intention. We had some intention. We had a trip planned spring of 2020.
Yeah.
And then we were going to...
on the last day, upgrade to that pass.
And then
it would have been basically free. It was like basically the same price as a five-day park hopper.
Yeah, exactly. And then we were like, oh, and then if we go one more time that year, that would be like more than pay for itself kind of thing. And then things happened.
Yeah, a couple things. Anyway. Yeah.
So that's the big news that's happened in the last couple of weeks, is just all the prices rising. They're also raising prices on a lot of food and merch.
Yeah.
Although they're also doing the, like, there was a debate on if they're also doing things where they give you less quantity.
Oh, yeah. Shrinkflation
for the same price.
Is big.
Exactly.
Yeah. Shrinkflation is big.
Nope. That's kind of what they have been doing. But yeah. So yeah, that's the big news.
Costco hot dogs are still $1.50.
Exactly. It's important. Other than that, there were a couple like smaller news stories. There was like a fire and things like that, but they all got it contained very, very quickly. There was one where someone pulled the fire alarm, and I think it was in the Emporium or like one of the stores right next to it. And but I mean, it reopened in like 45 minutes or something. So I don't think there was actually an issue there. Stuff like that. There are... we talked before about how the crowds are really, really low. They have picked up a little bit now that we're getting close to Halloween.
Yeah.
But still not where you would expect. So, continuing, but not...
Well, if they keep raising prices, they need less people in there.
Very true.
For the same amount of revenue. Mm-hmm. And then you need less cast members to pay to take care of them.
Oh, yeah. Yay, so, capitalism.
Yeah, well...
Yeah.
That's Disney for you.
Oh, 100%. So,
Mickey Mouse is not only the mascot for Disney, also for capitalism in general.
You're not wrong.
Basically.
You're not wrong. Yeah. And then I have news.
You do?
Yeah, it's Disney adjacent.
Okay.
There was a Disney Dreamlight Valley announcement, I guess. Whatever you would call it. I don't know.
It was, yeah.
Like a showcase?
Kind of like a, well, they called it a showcase, but it's like a developer stream where they give you the roadmap.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited.
and showed you
the next clips, expansion.
Clips from the next expansion and stuff.
I
find it funny that you're getting into this stuff now, because, like, I've been a gamer for a my life.
And, I know.
And they've been doing these sorts of things for games for a long time.
Do you know the first one that I watched? Like, I had watched kind of like half watched somewhere. I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. But the first one where I sat down and watched it and you were like, you should see this. You're going to enjoy it. Was the Animal Crossing 2.01. And I think I squealed like for half of it. I had no idea that it could be that exciting.
Interesting. Well, you know, you way back in the day when they had... No, this is really going to date myself and you by proxy.
Yes, we are the same
back
age.
When they had G4 TV.
Oh, yeah.
And for the first time ever, they broadcast the now defunct E3 conference.
That's right.
Used to be E3 was just for press and you'd get like articles written about it or whatever. But then G4 TV, which was like kind of like nerd gaming television channel.
Right.
Actually got to broadcast and were showing some of the like press conferences and stuff all day. This was back in the mid 2000s kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like 2007 maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Long time ago. And you kind of liked that. Like,
I did.
I watched E3 for like 2 days straight.
I remember that. I distinctly remember you doing that.
And you,
that's weird that I remember that too.
Well, yeah. And you kind of, I don't know.
I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is cool. Mm. Yeah, I guess it shouldn't be a surprise.
now they have it, like, each company kind of does their own thing.
Yes.
Like Nintendo Directs and PlayStation.
I get really excited for Nintendo Directs and then...
And they're usually kind of a bunch of weird Japanese games.
Yeah. Which, I mean, might be fun, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
But, so, I was really excited about the Dream Life Valley
stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. New expansion's coming out in November.
Yeah.
I'm a buy it. But I'm also super excited because in the roadmap of free stuff coming out in 2026, my favorite Disney princess is coming.
Hmm.
Pocahontas.
Oh, I was going to guess something dumb.
Belle? Belle's already there.
No, Belle's not dumb.
Oh, no, I thought like...
I was going to guess something like, dumb.
Oh, I don't know who would be dumb.
I don't know.
Okay. But I'm very excited about that. But yes. And I'm surprised because, like I always say, it felt like they were trying to ignore Pocahontas forever, so.
Yeah, they were, skirting around the issues of race and things like that, so.
And then they were like, okay, let's, like, balance it. Let's, like, ignore, Song of the South, which is, like, really, but we'll, like, keep Pocahontas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We just won't, like, highlight her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of ignoring things, do you have any other news?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Well... Yes, they have game press conferences and things like that, but the other media that we like, TVs and movies,
yes,
they tend to go to Comic Cons, and
they
just recently had a big Comic Con in New York.
That's true.
And we haven't talked about it.
No,
a
we
lot
have
of
not.
News. A lot
I
of kind news of there.
Forgot that was, well, we weren't, because we weren't here last week.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
so they had Marvel was basically the big chunk on this one. They had the Star Wars stuff before, so mostly Marvel.
Which was exciting.
They released a trailer for Wonder Man, finally.
Yes.
It was supposed to come out in December. They pushed it back. It's going to be January. It's going to be like a happy birthday present to us.
Yeah, it's literally coming out at our birthdays.
And it looks really good, actually.
It looks so fun.
Mm-hmm. There's a fair bit of stuff coming out in 2026 now.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Man. And the Spider-Man movie.
Yep.
And then some other stuff. So, I don't know. There was a big roadmap, and I don't really remember, because you didn't write it down, so.
Oh, I can bring up the roadmap.
It's like, it's mostly, like, Daredevil is coming as well.
Oh, that's right.
And they've renewed it for season 3, which we did talk about before.
We did talk about that,
and then...
Which I'm so excited
There was
about.
Some teasing about how Daredevil's going to actually play significantly into the Spider-Man movie, which kind of makes sense because Punisher is in it, and then Punisher's going to have the special presentation as well.
I mean, we kind of had figured that those were going to be linked anyway. It was just like what level of role that it was going to be.
Yeah, I don't know. So we'll see. And then there's like the Amazing Spider-Man cartoon that, that is also.
And weren't they also talking about
X-Men 97 is season 2.
Season 2.
And I think that might have been renewed for season 3 as well. So I guess you get a lot of X-Men to watch.
Oh my goodness, do we ever. Plus, we really have to do a rewatch before, like, Doomsday comes out.
X-Men specifically, yes. I think. Those, it's been a long time since I've seen those.
Yeah, well, and every time I'm like, oh, I remember that, but I have no idea which one it took place in, and I don't remember if it was before or after, or I don't remember other details surrounding, so gotta watch it.
Watch the first two. I'm gonna ignore the third one.
Days of Future Past.
That's the fifth one.
Yeah, that's maybe. I remember that was my favorite.
Because that one combined, that was like, almost like Star Trek Generations style.
Yeah. I really have always liked Wolverine, and he was such a focus.
Till he's 90.
Till he's 90. Yeah, that was exciting, though. And can we just go back to Wonder Man for a second?
Yes, please do.
Because
that was the big news.
It was. And I remember when they first announced it, I was like, who the heck is Wonder Man? And we kind of looked him up, and I was like, oh, that's cool, I guess, whatever. Like, fine, I'll probably watch it.
Yeah, well,
whatever. And then they had this little teaser, and I was like, wait, this is, like, tongue-in-cheek. It's, like, a different kind of approach. It is going to look really, really fun. And then now with the full trailer now, it's just like, I'm 100% sold on this.
Yeah. The trailer makes it look like it's going to have a good tone.
Yeah.
It looks more like a comedy than anything, which is cool.
Oh yeah.
It actually, the style and the way it's shot reminds me quite a bit of The Studio, which we've watched a couple episodes of, and the same kind of meta humor.
Yeah, I love meta humor, and I think that kind of style lends itself well to Disney Plus. We've talked before about how they have trouble figuring out how to use, like, television episodes, so that might work better for that. So I'm really optimistic about this. I mean, there were some, like, genuinely funny moments in the trailer, so...
So hopefully the whole series... is,
I hope so.
Good as the trailer.
Yeah, I hope it wasn't just like now going to be a letdown or anything.
The funny comment I saw online was like, "I can't believe we got more Trevor Slattery before Shang-Chi."
I mean, that is true.
But maybe Shang-Chi will show up for a second or something.
Might. He might.
A little cameo.
Yep, he might.
Maybe he's still doing his valet job.
That would kind of be funny.
I don't know.
Sad. He, like, does a double take seeing Trevor Slattery and, like, wait.
Oh, I don't know. Hopefully it's good.
Yeah, I hope so. But yeah, I just wanted to highlight that because I'm really... I've been looking forward to that all 2025. I'm okay that they moved it for a month because, like they said, no one's going to watch it in December anyway.
Well, yeah. The big thing is going to be... Well, holiday season's always busy anyway.
Which is what they said.
But they've... been releasing, well, What yep. If was the last couple holiday seasons.
Yeah, but which we didn't watch?
We weren't able to watch.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But it's going to be going up against Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Season 5 finale. They're using basically the entire holiday season to trickle that out in three separate batches. So.
And that's tough enough for people to watch because, like what they said with Wonder Man is it's, they didn't want to compete with like Home Alone and things like that, which is true. And then anything that is competing is going to be Stranger Things, quite frankly. So Wonder Man would definitely get lost in that shuffle.
Disney Plus probably gets quite a few streaming hours for Home Alone.
Definitely. They have some other Christmas ones too, but Home Alone and like the Santa Claus movies.
Oh yeah, Santa Claus.
They push that a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Home Alone. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other news?
I think that's probably it. I don't know. There's probably something I'm missing.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
No.
What's in the bag?
It's not a head, it's just content.
Oh.
Ah.
Disney A grab bag.
All right, Brandon, it is Halloween time.
It is.
I love Halloween time.
That's good.
Yep. So we are going to talk about forgotten, obscure Disney villains that are supernatural and spooky for Halloween time.
Oh, I knew that, but then I forgot.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, if I were to say, what is an example of a supernatural, spooky Disney villain that is obscure or forgotten? Who would you think? So, for example, Dr. Facilier is supernatural, but not obscure. Frollo is straight up evil.
And kind of obscure.
Kind of obscure, but not Supernatural.
I would say he's pretty obscure.
I'd say he's pretty obscure as well, yeah. Yeah. But I have here a list of some really obscure Disney
things. Okay, I know one.
Okay, I'm ready to hear it. I just want to know if you came up with the same list as me.
The Skeleton King from Black Cauldron.
That is an excellent addition. He's named the Horned King, and he is on my list.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Just straight up evil. Skeleton King. Skeleton, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's a Skeleton King in the Diablo games, so.
Yeah.
Same thing.
So we'll talk about him. There are four that I'm going to talk about, and I guarantee you have not heard of one of them.
Probably.
Because I haven't heard of one of them.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so three of them are from Disney Animation, and one of them is a Disney legend. That's from one of the parks.
Just a really mean cast member?
Maybe that's how he started. Okay. I'm so excited. So I'm going to tell you about
Bob Chapek.
I'm going to tell you about these, and I want you to try and think of how we could make them more popular nowadays so they're less obscure.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one, actually, is the most fun of all of these.
Hmm.
Madame Mim. Madame Mim.
Yeah.
From The Sword in the Stone.
Yes.
So this came out in 1963. And also, I did research on these guys. Like, I almost never do research on this. It's amazing. She is the unhinged magical foil to Merlin. She's a shapeshifter, entirely unpredictable. She claims herself that she's mad and delights in chaos. And the reason that she's kind of like evil is she's not out for power or revenge over greed. She just wants to cause trouble.
She's just chaotic neutral, I would say.
She just, likes chaos for chaos' sake. She has no problem psychologically torturing a boy-turned-squirrel.
Mm.
She loves cheating. That's part of the game for her.
Yeah.
The Wizard's Duel is the best, one of the best scenes in that whole movie with her.
True. That's really the only thing that I remember about that movie, exactly. To be honest with you.
Well, that's... So, for each of these, I'm going to be like, why have they been forgotten? And that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
She just is like straight up unsettling, gleeful about causing problems. So why she's been forgotten is, like you said, what do you remember from this movie?
Yeah.
Do you remember this movie?
I honestly, growing up, Sword in the Stone and The Black Cauldron were kind of like similar, different tones, but similar like... male-led Disney fantasy angle.
Yeah, they were.
And I like Black Cauldron more.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Sword in the Stone, to me, we've talked about this with other...
They're both not great, but...
No, but we've talked about this with other movies from that era when we were doing, our looking at each Disney decade. And you can tell they had, chunks of basically short cartoons that they made into a movie. They did the same with Jungle Book, which I know wasn't exactly the same.
But... Yeah. Yeah.
Different things like that. And sometimes it worked. Robin Hood did it, and it worked in Robin
Hood. Yeah, Robin Hood was good. And that, again, that was semi-fantasy, like Robin Hood's more
legend, but still, yeah.
Yeah. And male-led, you have the princess movies, female-led, and then you had the male-led ones.
Which is always funny to me, because people always think Disney is princess movies. There's way fewer princess movies back at that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, once we got into the Renaissance, we got Little Mermaid and Belle. Like, that was all...
Then they stopped making the other kind.
But... Yeah, they just made everyone more well-rounded, though, as part of it, too.
Well, which is better, obviously.
Oh, 100%. But these movies that we had before we got into the Renaissance proper...
Mm-hmm.
Were, I see what you're saying, and there were a lot more of those, but
I did like Robin Hood.
Yeah, I liked Robin Hood, too. So, this is a big part of why it's forgotten. So she only appears in one sequence of Sword in the Stone, in which Merlin outsmarts her. I don't think she is the actual villain in Sword of the Stone. I think Merlin is the villain.
Probably.
He's, not a good dude.
I thought King Arthur was the villain.
the boy?
Yeah.
Sword just wants to sit there.
Strange ladies living in lakes dispersing weaponry is no form of government.
Okay, Monty Python.
Yeah.
She's comedic, theatrical. She's not particularly menacing, which is in direct contrast to two of the other animated ones we're going to talk about. You already mentioned the skeleton dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not an elegant witch like the ones she's overshadowed by, like Maleficent, for example.
Right.
She's basically, and I saw this written somewhere, she's a gremlin in a granny wig.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. She's almost like slapstick comedy, which isn't as long-lasting as an iconic kind of... If you're thinking about an image of a Disney witch, you're not thinking of her. for that kind of reason. So the question is, how could we bring her back into, like...
Okay, well, this is pretty easy. I don't think there's anything wrong with the character. I think she'd be probably pretty popular.
I think so, too, if anyone knew about her.
You gotta get her out of her movie. Yeah. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna have her cross over and hang out with Agatha and the other witches.
Oh, Agatha! Going full on modern here. Yeah, okay.
And there you go.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I wrote that she could fit the role of a major villain. She just not had the opportunity in her movie, so...
No, I don't see her as a villain. I think she's just there.
Chaos magic.
Kind of just there for comedic effect and fun.
We have seen her in a few minor things. There was like, I don't know if you ever watched the House of Mouse animated show.
Did not.
Okay. Well, I think she showed up a couple times in there, but she was a character meet and greet in Oogie Boogie Bash.
Yeah. And people would walk up and be like, who's that?
Literally. I was like, oh, we're going to see Madame Mim. And like, I think you knew who she was, but like, yeah. And then I was like, from Sword in the Stone. And you were like, oh, yeah, right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, people like did not know who she was. And I was so excited because I thought she's hilarious and awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go creepier now. You mentioned the Horned King from Black Cauldron. This is the one I thought you were going to say. This is an excellent forgotten villain because the movie is forgotten.
Yeah.
Okay. A villain so frightening, Disney tried to bury him, but Halloween is when buried things come back, so we got to bring him back.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Based on Lloyd Alexander's Chronicles of, I'm probably going to say this wrong, Prydain? Something like that. So it was basically this series that they tried to, like, shorten into a movie.
Yeah.
And it didn't really work. He is an undead army summoner with skeletal hands, glowing red eyes. There's a bit of a cult status for the film now, but when it first came out in 1985, that's a good year, it was rated PG, which was crazy for Disney at the time. It was too scary for kids and bombed at the box office.
They didn't have PG-13 back then.
Yeah.
So it was either PG or not.
Exactly. Parents and test audiences were horrified. Entire scenes were actually cut because during early screenings, kids started crying and screaming. So it was disjointed to begin with, and then it like became more disjointed. Uses the Black Cauldron to raise his undead army, which is called the Cauldron Born in the books.
Mm.
He commands fear with a whisper. It's less theatrical, more menacing. He doesn't run. He doesn't yell. He doesn't kill. He just resurrects.
He's a cool necromancer.
That's totally it. And then he has a very gruesome death. He's pulled into the cauldron and destroyed. When the cauldron is turned against him, it doesn't just consume him. It drags him in piece by piece into the darkness that he tried to command. So basically it gets out of his control. So he's completely forgotten because the movie is completely forgotten. Like, it was a horrible...
Yeah.
Considered one of the biggest failures Disney ever did.
Hmm.
And has been, like, shoved away. However, it has a bit of a cult status now.
Right.
Especially among us millennials here. Elder millennials.
Yeah.
So how can we bring him back? Because I think he's perfect and creepy for Halloween.
Yeah.
Can we bring him back?
Hey, I don't know. I think I would go in another direction.
Mm-hmm.
And make it, like, a meta thing.
Okay.
Where he comes back as a... In-universe, Disney universe, late-night comedy host.
What?
Yeah, and he's
comedy
like...
Comedy host?
He's like Jimmy Fallon, and he interviews other Disney characters in this, like, late-night TV show.
So you wouldn't even need to know his movie. You'd just be like, no, oh, he's like the creepy guy.
But he's like a creepy guy, but then he's like, does funny stuff, and it's funny.
That's interesting.
That's what I would do.
You have, like, the most interesting creative ideas. I enjoy
it. It's scary in here sometimes.
I was like, they should just remake this movie now. Dark fantasy's a thing.
Yeah, they could cast Jared Leto to play him, probably.
No. And then it would bomb again.
Jared Leto is cast as Skeletor in the He-Man movie, by the way.
No, so, he's not.
Yeah. Apparently.
Ugh. Okay. Here's another forgotten one. Chernabog from Fantasia.
Okay, that was the other one I was gonna
I was
say.
Wondering. Yeah, I was like, you're going to say the Horn King. You might mention Chernabog.
He's less forgotten now, actually, he than is. He was
I have
even
that
10, year,
too.
10
yeah.
years ago.
Okay, so Chernabog is literally a demon from Slavic mythology. He commands spirits of the undead. He's considered the god of night and misfortune. So he first appeared in the Night on Bald Mountains section in Fantasia. In 1941, mm-hmm. and I did make a note of this because it's pretty cool. He was this section was actually animated by Vladimir Bill Tytla. It was considered one of Disney's legendary nine old men. Remember, we were looking at the history, and it's like the nine guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was the part that one of them did, so it's pretty cool. Walt Disney called Chernabog the devil himself. When he was animated, they used silent horror films as visual reference. He's most notably based on Nosferatu's movements.
Yeah, you can tell if you watch it, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, and he's silent as well, but I mean, like, the music does the work for him, mm-hmm. right? He is now seen, and you said, well, now people actually kind of have seen him.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen in Phantasmic and in Halloween shows, but most don't know who he is. They're just like, oh, devil guy.
Creepy devil monster, yeah.
So Chernabog means black god. He appears during, I don't know Slavic languages, so it appears during Walpurgis night, and his job is to summon spirits, demons, witches, and then is forced back into the mountains at dawn by church bells. There is no dialogue. He communicates through visuals, music, and expression, and part of what's scary about him is, like, how big he is, and he basically unfolds from the mountain, and the giant bat wings come out. Like, he's very creepy looking, and like you said, you can kind of tell the Nosferatu, like...
Oh, sure, yeah.
Definitely. He shapeshifts the world around him, especially smoke, shadow, and flame, and he's considered the personification of evil. Not really a character arc, just evil. The animation was considered disturbing because it was probably, like you said, that Nosferatu, it's like uncanny and unnatural. And it's like, well, he's supposed to be a demon, so that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And his placement in Fantasia was very purposely done because it juxtaposed it with Ave Maria, which came right after. So Fantasia as a whole, when it first came out in 1941, was considered a flop at release. And it's become a classic now, but it didn't make a bunch of money at the time. And also, it was 1941. There was stuff going on in the world where people were like, maybe let's not sit and watch animated movies tied to classical music.
There, yeah.
It's considered an art film. It doesn't get much rewatching. Like, people have seen Fantasia, and they're not like, ooh, let's sit down on Saturday and rewatch that, right? There's no dialogue or movie of his own, so he's not often seen as a full villain.
Mm-hmm.
People see him during projections, especially in the parks.
Did they bring him back in Fantasia 2000? I
think that was one of the sections they did bring back. Yeah. Because I know they redid some of the sections.
Yeah.
I feel like...
I can't
really remember, but which tells you, again, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's seen in projections, Fantasmic, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween in Disney World, Disney Villains After Hours events. But I mean, like, you're not seeing Chernabog walking around the park or, like, nobody selling stuffies of him or anything like that. But he shows up in projections and people usually don't know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, oh, he's, like, a Halloween scene or whatever. But he even appeared in Kingdom Hearts, the video game.
Yeah, I was going to say.
As a boss. Did you know that?
Well,
I didn't know that
because I haven't played Kingdom Hearts. It's actually quite a difficult game, but this is going to be a very good segue into where I'm bringing him back.
Good, because that was gonna be my next question.
Yeah. It's gonna be in a video game.
Okay,
not Kingdom Hearts, because that's pretty niche. Kingdom Hearts, if you don't know, is kind of a crossover between Disney and Final Fantasy, and it's very anime, which is probably why I don't really like it.
I've had no interest in playing Kingdom Hearts.
Well, you played it for a little bit and you kind of liked it.
I liked the idea, and then it got hard.
Yeah. It is very difficult. It's like almost as difficult as like your Demon Souls type games, but
I liked the initial stuff, and now I have Disney Dreamlight Valley where I can do the initial stuff without the hard stuff.
So, whatever. But no, I'm gonna take it away from Kingdom Hearts,
okay.
And it's gonna be its own game.
All right.
You've seen trailers for like Hollow Knight and Silk Road.
Oh, super! Yeah.
So that type of game is called a Metroidvania, popularized by Super Metroid, and Castlevania, and you kind of like explore a map, but it's going to be like Mickey Mouse, and he's like trapped in a nightmare. That's because like Trinobot can warp the world around, and he's going to go and explore and like do things, and it's going to be like that.
I would love this game.
Yeah.
You should be working for, like, Disney, you should be listening to us and then give Brandon money to come up with these ideas.
Well, like, this is brilliant. Like, Hollow Knight's super popular, obviously.
Right.
And if you got a...
Well, I guess, like, I know what this game
is. If you did a good one of that, and he could be the main villain, he could, like... Because, like, those games have, like, little bosses all around, scattered around the map, and, like...
Yeah.
You've watched me play a few of them.
Yeah,
Ori in the Blind Forest was one with the... little glowing dude.
Oh, I liked that one.
And it was in like the chubby thing died at the beginning.
Yeah,
remember?
I didn't like that part.
But then you bring him back, so it's fine.
Yeah, but I did.
Anyway,
yeah.
That kind of game. You like explore the map and then you go into different areas and there's a boss in each area. You could have different Disney villains. And
this is amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
But do it in to coincide with like Disney villains, like land that they're doing.
Well, they're pushing they're, villains like, right now.
Yeah, I love this.
And you could like have nods to, 2D platformer Disney games of yore, like your Lion King and...
Oh, the Elephant Graveyard. You could literally do...
Or the one where you're swinging from the stupid giraffe tails.
I just can't wait to be King sequence. Yeah, that's what that
horrible.
One was. That was really
or
hard.
Aladdin and et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
Oh, so cool. Yeah, like the Aladdin one where like just make it so like different, like you go into an area and then you have to like do the reimagined version of
the dark version. Yeah,
I actually love this idea.
Free idea to just make it. There you go.
I'll play it. Do you want to hear about the villain you don't know about?
Sure.
Okay. Now there's a reason this is obscure. Like I said, he's from a Disney park only.
Hmm.
And specifically from one attraction in a Disney park.
Okay. It's the paparazzi in Superstar Limo.
Yes. You got it.
Nailed it.
Okay. Now, I don't speak Japanese.
Ah, nor do I.
So, I believe this is pronounced Shikiki Utandu. And this is from the Tower of Terror at Tokyo Disney Sea.
Huh.
So, the story... I'm going to tell you this like a story.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Once upon a time.
The story begins in 1912.
Yeah.
Harrison Hightower III is an adventurer, a collector, and a colonialist. He returns from an expedition to Africa with his latest prize, a small statue.
Yeah, statue.
Yeah. The eyes are wide with a like kind of smirky, twisted kind of grin. Most people do not know the name, including Harrison Hightower III. But to the tribe that once guarded it, it was called Shiriki Utundu, roughly translated, believe the misfortune. Hightower was warned not to take it, and he laughed off the stories of his curses, as all colonialists do.
That's true, yeah.
That night, he throws a lavish party in the tower's grand hotel, showing off his new stolen treasure. Do you want to guess what happens?
Something bad with the elevator.
Yeah. As the elevator doors close, carrying him and his idol up to his private suite, the doors close, and he vanishes. When the doors open again, the elevator is empty, and only the idol remains. Today, guests enter the Hightower Hotel as part of a tour group. The walls are lined, still, with Hightower's trophies. The elevator works if you dare to ride it, but before you board, you enter the former office of Harrison Hightower, and there behind glass sits Shiriki Utundu. Guests say they have seen it move. Its eyes glow, and just before your elevator plummets, the idol smiles. It's not just a prop in a theme park attraction. It's considered a warning to believe the misfortune. The idea with the story here is that when you pass through the final plunge on the tower...
Your soul is gone forever.
You pass through the moment Hightower met his fate, so maybe.
Yeah.
It's like you run the risk of ending where he is if you don't listen to the warnings. But if you listen to the warnings, then you're okay.
I think I like the actual Twilight Zone story for Tower of Terror way more, but okay.
Okay. This villain doesn't speak. He's not a person. He's an icon of Disney storytelling. It is an idol that doesn't sing or have any story to it. It just watches and waits. It is unique only to the one park, so of course other people do not know about this.
Right.
Now, what's kind of cool is the Hightower the Third, the lore surrounding him is also connected to that the SEA, the sea, the
society. Yeah, yeah. Society. I was going to ask, when you said he was going on an expedition and stuff, I was going to ask if he was part of that.
Yep, and so I did have to look that up because I'm like, I never remember what the acronym means. Society of Explorers and Adventurers. Basically, the idol is tied to lightning, movement, glowing eyes, and curses. And yeah, because it's so specific, literally to one park. It's a very popular park in the world, but it's one park. And it's not like, I have some bonus forgotten villains, and one is tied to Disneyland. More people know about that around the world because that was like the original park, right? Tokyo Disney Sea is not an original park. Very popular. But only if you know specific lore for that specific place do you know the story of the idol. So how can we make this idol, or can we make this idol, more popular?
Yeah, very easy. And it, I doubt that they've done this before, but Indiana Jones should be retroactively added to the sea.
Agreed. He would fit
like, honorary member, yeah. Same time period too.
Exactly.
Like, very good. But no, he needs to go and rescue the idol and put it in a museum.
Or give it back to the tribe that it was stolen. No, nope.
Belongs in a museum. He's not a good guy.
Yeah, I know. That's true. If it's Indiana Jones going to a museum.
He's the worst archaeologist of all time.
Yeah. I remember taking Archaeology 1000 and just sitting there being like, wait a minute. It's like, don't disturb things unless they're about to be destroyed. Indiana Jones is like, I should go steal this and disturb all the things.
All the things.
Let's cause a major cave-in.
Terrible archaeologist.
It's true. Okay, so I also have here why the like all of these things have in common. Disney shifted towards marketable villains, and these guys are not
marketable,
right? They like charismatic stories or gray characters or redemption stories. You're not exactly redeeming the Horned King here, unless you make him a late night talk show host.
And he would be he wouldn't even be the most evil late night talk show host. So there you go.
Oh. They all rely on supernatural powers like curses, necromancy you mentioned, dark rituals, transformations. They represent straight up evil or chaos. They're not like, there's nothing humans identify with. Like humans, you have someone motivated by greed or jealousy or something like that. People are like, I get that. Whereas they're like, raise the dead. underused due to tone, marketability, or being tied to underperforming content.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
Yeah. And, yeah, so those are kind of what they have in common. I have some bonus deep cut villains.
Okay.
Mystic Manor and Hong Kong Disneyland.
I was going to ask about, is there really a villain in that, though?
Well, this is part of it. So Mystic Manor doesn't use ghosts like Haunted Mansion. We actually have talked about this before.
Yes, we have. Yeah.
But it does have Malibu. Malibu is an ancient spirit that was released from a magic music box. He's mostly, like, even though he's eerie, he's not, like, villainous so much as mischievous.
Right.
But, so there's a character there. The specter from Phantom Manor in Disneyland Paris is the dark, cursed father of the bride. Because that one's the one with the ghost story that's, like, the couple that they're going to get married. Like, it's very blatant, that one. And that's the father of the bride, and that one is just like straight up traditional ghost story kind of thing. The Headless Horseman from The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad in 1949.
Yeah, I don't know that the Headless Horseman would be considered obscure, though.
So this is part of it. It depends on where you're at. So if you have ties to Disneyland, much less obscure.
Yeah, but it, not even, I wouldn't even say like Disney specifically, but like, the Headless Horseman as an horror icon is not obscure.
And I don't think so. So it's tied to the classic story by Washington Irving.
Yeah.
And now is like the feature of Oogie Boogie Bash. And there's a statue at DCA during Halloween.
Well, I'm pretty sure
Halloween.
Oogie Boogie is the feature of
Bash. But I mean like is a feature of, I should have said.
The parade.
Yes.
The parade
marker. And has the statue.
Yeah, statue.
Yeah. He's literally a decapitated ghost who carries a flaming pumpkin that serves as a face and a weapon. I think that people like know who he is without knowing his story, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I agree. I don't know that he's that obscure.
I don't agree with that.
I did have an idea, though.
Okay.
What if he was in a VR experience? You had to escape from...
Yeah, that could work. VR and horror go pretty well together.
Yeah.
I don't know if the kids would like that, though.
Yeah, I would. Well, actually, probably not. VR makes me nauseous. Unless it's Beat Saber. And then I have the Hatbox Ghost from Haunted Mansion in Disneyland. Spooky, elusive, and legendary for his haunting presence. So we did a deep dive last Halloween on when we talked about the Haunted Mansion in general.
Yeah.
And so we talked about him a little bit more then. So you should go and listen to that episode.
Also played by Jared Leto.
This is the only movie I've liked Jared Leto in, actually.
Because he didn't look like it. I also liked him in Fight Club when he got beat up real good.
So. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. So he appeared... the Hatbox Ghost first appeared in 1969. Didn't work as planned. So he became the legend. And they said that he was the ghost in the vault. You know, like Disney vault kind of thing. Returned in 2015. Is supernatural mystery, park mythology. He did show up as the primary villain in the Haunted Mansion movie, though.
The new one.
The new one, yes.
Not the Eddie Murphy.
No, the new one. So it's like, is he still forgotten? Maybe the ties to the park were forgotten, and people were just like, oh, this movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if you've ever been on Haunted Mansion, that one, that sticks out.
Yeah, well, since 2015, if you've been. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
But I think it's
2015 cool. was 10 years ago. So.
Oof. I think it's significant that when Disney World was getting a Hatbox Ghost, they all were like really, really excited about it because there's such a legend about the Hatbox Ghost is cool.
It's a cool effect.
And we have a sipper.
Yeah. And the sipper's cool too. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, did I miss anyone, do you think?
The tree from Pocahontas, that's a pretty...
Grandmother Willow is not a villain. It's terrible. Grandmother Willow is not a villain.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I think she's kind of scheming.
No. The only grandmother who's a villain is the one from Encanto.
Oh, she. She is the villain of that movie. Yeah. Holy.
But see, human redemption arc, even though there's magic in the movie and stuff, it's like she wouldn't qualify because she's too human. She's not straight up evil. Yeah. My favorite example that you've given is the video game with Chernabog being the big...
Oh, yeah. That would work really well.
I love that so much.
That would work really well. But I still like the Horned King as the late-night talk show host.
Who would be his first guest?
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't... You'd have to, like, bring on Mickey Mouse or something. And he just, like, gets escorted off the property because they don't get along or something. I don't know.
Anything else to add to this?
No, I think that's good.
Are you excited for Halloween?
I think we've gotten off the rails enough.
Okay. Are you excited for Halloween?
I like candy.
Okay, that's our show this week. Thank you, Old Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. That's also where you can find a link to our social media accounts and our email. You can find Disney A episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms. If you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you. And if you haven't yet, please do. There's a bunch of you guys are listening, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Should probably just like take a second and hit the little stars, write a little review.
Stars.
Mm-hmm. If you know someone who might like listening to us, please be sure to recommend Disney A as well. I don't know if we're going to have another episode before Halloween.
No, we're busy next
because we're gone. So happy Halloween. Hey, boo. Wait, yeah. That means when we come back, it's Christmas.
Sort of.
So I don't know what we're going to talk about. We'll talk about something. So, I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now.
Thanks for listening to Disney A.
I enjoy it.
It's scary in here sometimes.